And go to the book of Jeremiah. We'll be looking at Jeremiah chapter 29. The interesting thing about the book of Jeremiah is it contains a lot of history too. If you're ever looking for the book of Hezekiah in the Bible, you'll find it in Jeremiah. There's some more story about Hezekiah and all sorts of interesting things. But we know if you read through the Bible, sometimes in the prophets, we come across a lot of just stuff that, as the Bible says, hard to be understood. And there's a lot of prophecies against the nations and these kings, and a lot of just stuff that's tough to tell who's being spoken to. But in the book of Jeremiah, there's a lot of history, too. It tells a lot about Jeremiah's personal life and some of his struggles. And I want to tell a little bit of a story about what was going on for Jeremiah. We won't be able to find all the verses in this short time that we have, but there's a little bit of a story behind the message that we're talking about today with fake news. So before I begin, let's pray once more. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings on us. Lord, we thank you that we can know that you're good no matter what's happening in our lives. We trust in your word. We trust in your character, what you tell us about yourself, and we want to acknowledge you and honor you for that. Lord, we confess that we are nothing and that but for your grace, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't even have the privilege of honoring you. So we pray that you would come visit us today. And Lord, would you make your word alive in our hearts? Would you give us something that we need? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you've read through your Old Testament, you come through a lot of history, starting in Genesis, going through the time of Abraham, and all the way to when Israel gets into their land, and eventually we know that they leave their land because of their sin against God. The Bible tells us that one of the things that God accomplished by taking Israel out of their land was letting the land finally get the Sabbath that they refused to keep. And there was a long period of God's long suffering for Israel. Many prophets sent to warn them. Some revivals. Sometimes in Israel, sometimes in Judah. And Judah lasted longer than Israel, but eventually Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Jerusalem, and many were taken captive. And we find the book of Jeremiah, through some of the years of this time, of some have been taken captive, and as we get towards the middle of the book here where we are in Jeremiah 27, 28, 29, some have been taken to Babylon already, and Jeremiah is telling people that there's more trouble coming. There's more judgment coming. Jeremiah's message, we read some things in the book of Jeremiah that he talks about himself personally having a really hard time with the mission that God had called him to, the message that God had called him to preach. It reminds me a little bit of some of the difficulty that we could have personally in our hearts about the message that God's called us to preach, that he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not very popular. It's not a super happy thing that people want to hear, and some may be offended. If you're in Texas, they'll just smile at you anyway and be offended. If you're in Michigan, they'll just let you know that they're offended. Just different cultural things. But God had a message of judgment for the people because of sin, and that's always been the case. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So Jeremiah had to tell the people that you think it's bad, but you're still not obeying God, and God's going to bring more. And there were other prophets that were around in the days of Jeremiah. We don't necessarily know all their names. We know some of their names. We may look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. And, 28, chapter 28, We'll start reading here in chapter 28, and I'll show you something that was happening at the same time as Jeremiah. It says in Jeremiah 28, verse 1, "It came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet." Okay, we don't have a book of Hananiah, do we? And we'll find out that this was not one of God's prophets. But here, its name is a prophet. "Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet," which is a Gibeon, "spake unto me," Jeremiah, "in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." Here he's in the house of the Lord. The people are coming together. We see at other places in the book of Jeremiah that the people come to hear the word of the Lord from the prophet. What's God saying? There's a lot of trouble going on. I didn't live there. I don't know exactly how everything worked in their system, but they didn't have the satellite TV and all that stuff. So they had to come together and hear what was going on. And there were people that, all kinds of people willing to say something. But who was right? Because Jeremiah says there's more trouble coming, there's more captivity. And this prophet says, oh, 2 years? Look at verse 3. "Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried into Babylon. And I'll bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now this is what Hananiah said. That's not the word of the Lord. But how are we going to know? Because he said, "Thus saith the Lord, Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." I mean, it sounds right. And we have some of this type of fake news today. Well, we've had it ever since, and before this time. This is just one example of people claiming to speak in the name of the Lord, claiming to have the message of God. There's all kinds of people that are Christians in name today. If you go to Papua New Guinea, almost everybody is already a member of some type of Christian denomination. Whether it's Catholic or Lutheran or Episcopalian or Pentecostal or Foursquare or Evangelical Brotherhood, or there's a thousand of them. But they don't all preach the same thing. They're preaching contradicting messages, so who are we going to know? How are we going to know who's right? And they're both saying this is the word of the Lord, and even today we have many people preaching contradicting messages, and they all go to the same Bible to do it. So that should be a concern to us. The term fake news, I looked it up and says it was popularized during the around the time of the 2016 presidential election. Just a lot of conflicting information being published as this is the way things are happening. And the dictionary definition says false information that is broadcast or published as news for fraudulent or politically motivated purposes. And when you think about politically motivated, what does that mean? Why do people want to get in office? Well, for power and money, very often. And that's the way a lot of people feel about religion as well. And unfortunately, they're pretty accurate. A lot of religion is about power and money. A lot of the fake news that goes across as this is the word of God, when you know, we look back at the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church was, you know, impoverishing the people and enriching itself, and you know, by a lot of physical force, you say, wow, that was terrible. It's so easy to identify how they were using their position of power to gain control over the population. Well, people just do it in a more politically correct way today. It has to be modernized. You know, there are history books out there, so they can't do everything the same, but in a lot of ways, people are using the Word of God and presenting something as the Word of God for their own purposes. So, how are we going to know what to believe? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, and we'll come back to Jeremiah in a minute. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. It says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall be turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." As Christians, with the Word of God, we want to have full proof that what we're saying is true, that what we're believing is true. And we want to, the Bible tells us that we need to, by sound doctrine, exhort and convince the gainsayers. Witnessing is not all about winning an intellectual argument and convincing someone that you're right. In fact, that's not it at all. It's the work of God that He needs to do in hearts. But He's given us a responsibility to present things in a proper way that will be able to show proof that, of what the Lord has said. If you still have Jeremiah 29, where it talks about heaping to themselves teachers in 2 Timothy 4, it reminds me of Jeremiah 29 and verse 8. Jeremiah 29 verse 8 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed." This is saying that the people caused the prophets to dream dreams that they would appreciate. And if the guys are making it up as they go along, that's not too difficult to do. But they're proclaiming all kinds of things in the name of the Lord. We're not going to read everything that happened, but back in chapter 28, Jeremiah had been preaching about the yoke of the king of Babylon, and so look at verse 10 of Jeremiah 28. Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Could look like he was defeated in this showdown in the public view. You know, they had their thing, and they both gave their side, and Jeremiah just walked away. But look at verse 12. "Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron." And I'll just keep reading here. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year, in the seventh month." Well, that made it easy to see who was right, because Jeremiah said, "You're going to die," and he died. And we'll know, it's quite obvious, 2 years after this, according to the prophecy of Hananiah, nothing happened, and the people did go more into captivity. But, you know, as far as foretelling before the time, how would it be known who was right? And the people, maybe they don't know Jeremiah's background, maybe they don't know, they weren't there when he heard from the Lord. So what's going to be an indicator for them of who is right in this situation? We're going to look down at chapter 29 now. And verse 20, Jeremiah 29:20. As far as, you know, the prophecies coming to pass or not, and that's mentioned many times in the Bible, you'll know if a prophet's true, if what he says comes to pass. But many of the cults of today have already made predictions of the Lord coming back or things happening that never came to pass. But then they just keep changing their word and make up a new story. And if people would just read their Bibles in plain English, it would tell them these people are wrong. But there's also some more indicators that could have told the people of Israel who was the prophet of the Lord and who was telling a lie. Look in chapter 29, verse 20. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. So now he's speaking to those who have already been carried away to Babylon. And guess what? There were more false prophets there. Look at this in verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kaliah and Zedekiah the son of Messiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. And look at the character of these men. Because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. There were some indications that these men were not true men of God by the way that they lived their lives. And if we're thinking about wanting to make full proof of our ministry as witnesses for the Lord, and we see that if someone is living in sin, that's an indication that they're not to be trusted, that should give us some serious thoughts about what does our life look like to match the message that we're preaching, if we have the truth. And, you know, if you are listening to someone that's proclaiming truth, does their life match up with what the Word of God says? We think of the sons of Aaron in Leviticus chapter 10 that went and offered strange fire that wasn't according to God's commandment. They did it out of their own mind. And if someone is teaching something that goes directly against the Bible, but proclaiming it in the name of the Lord, that's an indication to us that they're speaking lies in the name of the Lord. But we were looking at sound doctrine in 2 Timothy 4, where it says, the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. We'll read something more about sound doctrine. We want to know, what is the truth? If there are sources of fake news and fake truth out there, we want to discern. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. To become speaks of to fit along well with, to be suitable. So these are the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This whole chapter speaks of the outward things that should be evident in our lives to lend proof to the truth of God in our lives. People might want to tell you that, well, your heart has to be right and you just have to believe right and God doesn't care how you live. That's not what the Bible teaches you. It says there are things which become sound doctrine. The doctrine is the teaching But there are things that have to go along with it, or it's not sound. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. Here Paul the Apostle is talking about the outward appearance of his ministry and the men that labored with him. If we want to judge and discern a person, whether they're speaking the truth, what things should be present in their lives? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. It says in verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Verses 4 and 5 tell us all the things that the ministers of God experienced. So just because, you know, as we might see in the life of Jeremiah, he was suffering for what he did, that doesn't necessarily tell us that he's wrong. Looking in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 6 tells us what we should see to make sure that he's right. And it says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. Kindness seems like a pretty tame thing. People of the world think they can be kind. But the Bible tells us that kindness should be something that validates our message of truth to others. It's a very simple thing, but we need to have God's kindness working through us. By kindness, it says, by the Holy Ghost. Well, you're certainly not going to have that if you're not the child of God. It says, by love unfeigned. Well, that would be the opposite of fake. Unfeigned. We need to have a true love as we preach the truth of God. Verse 7, by the word of truth. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. In Ephesians 6, we read that righteousness is a breastplate. Righteousness is a protection for us. Here it calls it the armor on the right hand and on the left. That can guard us and give us effectiveness in our witness for the Lord when our lives are going in the right direction and obeying the commandments of God. In verse 8, it makes us think of Jeremiah, how there's not everyone may think that you are correct. Verse 8 says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. There are those that think that we are deceived and deceiving others and telling them that they need to repent and turn to God. But we can be confident in our truth. And these things should be evident in our lives. In verse 9 it says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Verse 10 especially there makes me think of there's something much deeper than what shows on the outside. You can be poor and yet making many rich, not by dealing lots of cash out of your bank account to others, because you don't have that if you're poor. But you can make people rich in what's more important than money. If you have that truth of God, the power of God, the Holy Ghost of God in you. There's a couple of things in this list that we also find in Philippians 4. I'd like to look at Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. in our testimony for the Lord, how are people going to know if we're telling the truth? Look at Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. We read in 2 Corinthians 6, by pureness. That was the first thing in the list for demonstrating that your message is true, is by pureness. It says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Just there, after he tells them about all these good things that you should think upon, he says, and the things that you've seen in me, you should do those. That tells me that Paul was showing a good example of obedience to the Lord in every part of his life. If he could tell people to follow his example, in other places he said, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Matthew, could I get you to look up for us Proverbs 20:11, and Brother John, Proverbs 22:11? Thinking about approving ourselves as the ministers of God by pureness. Proverbs 20, verse 11. The Bible tells us that even a child is known by his doings. Are we going to think that when we become adults, we can deceive people and just do whatever we want and yet still have a true message? People can tell whether a child's work is pure by what he does. What's Proverbs 22:11 say? To love pureness of heart. And then it says, the king shall be his friend. Do we want to be the friends of God? To love pureness of heart. There's another verse in the book of Proverbs right around there that says, who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin? That's not in our power to make our way pure and perfect before God. But it's his pureness, his holiness that he wants to give us, that we can demonstrate to others, along with the message of the truth of the Word of God, to show whose word is true. And it's not our word, it's the Lord's word. Let's look at our final verse in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. We saw the example of the men in Jeremiah's day, who the Lord judged, and there were indicators that they were not telling the truth because they were committing adultery, they were committing villainy, they were criminals, but they said, oh, we have a word from the Lord. That's not the kind of example we want our lives to show. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. It first says, let no man despise thy youth. And I had a man talking to me about this work, about this verse this week. Because I'm young and I'm a preacher and I have to proclaim the word of God. But in saying, let no man despise thy youth, that's not just a statement that, hey, you're young, but it doesn't matter. You can just do stuff because no one's supposed to despise you. Look what the verse says. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's the example that God wants us to show as we proclaim his word, to prove ourselves as the ministers of God, to give people confidence that the word they're hearing is from the Lord. We need to love that pureness of heart and show the example of purity that the Lord has given us, so that we can give people that full proof of the truth of the Word of God.